Agenda item 16, Northwest Straits Commission. This is a briefing. You pass that down to Tammy.
Morning, members.
Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Director and Mr. Deputy Director. I'm Chris Early with the Shellfish Program, DFW. I'm here to introduce Lucas Hart. Lucas is with the Northwest Straits Initiative. They're an important conservation partner for DFW and, in particular, our Shellfish Program. Lucas is going to tell us about what they've been up to.
Thanks, Chris. Morning, everybody, and thanks for clearing some time on your agenda this morning. I know you've had a long set of meetings over the last couple of days, and I'm hoping I can end this on a positive note for you all. As Chris mentioned, I'm Lucas Hart. I direct the Northwest Straits Commission, which is a piece of the Northwest Straits Initiative. And today what I'm going to do is start out with kind of a general structure of the organization and then move into a number of projects that we've been doing with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. In the 1980s and into the 1990s, there was a proposed marine sanctuary for the Northwest Straits region. This was widely unpopular. Locals viewed it as the feds coming in and taking control of marine resources that locals felt they could control themselves. Senator Murray and the late Representative Jack Metcalf at the time recognized this pushback, and it essentially killed the marine sanctuary idea, but they wanted to come up with a solution that allowed locals to become directly engaged in marine resources restoration and protection. What they came up with was something called the Northwest Straits Initiative. This was congressionally authorized in 1998. And the idea was that the Northwest Straits Initiative would replicate a model that had been formed in the San Juan Islands called the San Juan Marine Resources Committee. This was a group that was formed in 1996. It was made up of volunteers, the idea being that these volunteers would identify the things in their county that were important to them around marine resources and nearshore restoration and implement projects. Today what we have are seven marine resources committees in each of the counties highlighted on the map. San Juan Marine Resources Committee is still in existence. The structure is still the same as well. These are volunteers that come together to prioritize and implement projects in their local counties that are important to them. They also serve as advisors to their local elected government. And each member of the Marine Resources Committee is there to represent a certain interest. So it's a mix of interests: environmental, economic, tribal, recreational, etc. So we really try to work by consensus. The Northwest Straits Initiative is composed primarily of three entities, one being the Northwest Straits Commission. That's the arm that I direct. We're kind of considered the quasi-governmental arm. Our funding comes from the EPA. We have a state appropriation as well, and those funds go to support the seven marine resources committees that are represented in the middle of this Venn diagram for them to carry out their projects. We also provide coordination assistance and technical assistance to the volunteers. In 2002, on the right, we have the Northwest Straits Foundation. The Northwest Straits Foundation is our nonprofit arm. They came about to help supplement the funds that were going to the Marine Resources Committees to carry out their projects. And we work really closely with the foundation. We have separate boards, separate directors, but we all work very, very closely together. The overall mission of the Northwest Straits Initiative is to protect and restore marine waters, species, and habitats of the Northwest Straits to achieve ecosystem health and sustainable resource use through a local approach. And I'm really emphasizing the local approach. That's the whole reason we were founded, and we really focus on that part of the mission. And we do it through our Marine Resources Committees. Over the years, we've developed a lot of great projects with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Forage fish monitoring, Olympia oyster restoration, pinto abalone restoration, shellfish harvest education, crab pot removal and crabber education. And then we hold an annual conference that the agency has been really involved in as well. I'm going to walk through each one of these just to give you a sense of how they work. The first one, this is probably one of the more seminal projects of the Northwest Straits Initiative. As you probably all know, the non-commercial species generally are not monitored, or were not monitored, and volunteers with, especially the San Juan Marine Resources Committee, recognized this, and they also recognized the importance of forage fish in the food web for feeding other species such as salmon. So they wanted to find a way that they could get out on their beaches and monitor forage fish to determine when they're spawning and where they're spawning so those habitats could be protected. On the bottom right, I'm showing three examples of forage fish, sand lance, herring, surf smelt. In the upper right are forage fish eggs, a picture taken by one of our volunteers, Jeff Taylor, up in forage fish. And I'm not certain exactly which, if they're sand lance, herring, or surf smelt. It's hard to tell from this picture. But as you can see, there's an egg on the tip of his finger in the bottom right little picture there. So they're tiny, tiny eggs. The Northwest Straits Commission in the year 2000 funded Dan Pintilla, a biologist with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, to develop a MAF field manual along with the contractor Lawrence Moulton that would guide volunteers through the process of sampling for forage fish eggs on the beach. We're still using this protocol today. It came out in 2001. There's a few small modifications, but this led to the identification of 50 miles of forage fish spawn habitat that previously was unknown. So it was a very successful monitoring project. We're still doing it today. It's evolved a little bit. What we have now is what we call an index site monitoring project. The Department of Fish and Wildlife was kind of ramped up its monitoring of forage fish habitat several years ago. And one of the issues that they had was the inability to get out to every beach every month. It's a lot of work. You need a lot of manpower. So we partnered with the department to set up these index sites where volunteers could go out on a monthly basis and try to determine when forage fish were spawning throughout the year. So we're helping to supplement or to expand the temporal resolution of the data set that the agency is collecting on its own. So volunteers go out, they collect samples, Department of Fish and Wildlife analyzes those samples, sends the data back to us so we can educate volunteers on what's happening in their local communities along the lines of forage fish spawning. We also work with Department of Fish and Wildlife on educating the volunteers. So there's a training. We usually hold one or two every year to show volunteers how to carry out this protocol. And this has been a very popular, a lot of interested community members. This is also linked to a program for restoration, shoreline restoration. The Northwest Straits Foundation leads a lot of this work. This is at Coronet Bay up at the north end of Whidbey Island. Upper left picture shows hard shore armoring. This really impacts sediment transfer, and forage fish need a certain type of sediment on the beach in order to spawn successfully. Bottom right is post restoration, and that was about 1,000 feet of shoreline that was restored, and for the first time in known history, forage fish eggs were identified there post restoration. Volunteers do similar things on these projects that they do on their index sites. They sample pre-restoration and then post-restoration to determine how things have changed after the restoration to see if it was successful. And this was one that was very successful. And I should mention the agency does the analysis of the samples that are collected for those restoration sites as well. So that's the partnership nexus there. Olympia oyster restoration is another one that we've had going for quite some time. Since 2002, we've restored 7 acres of Olympia oyster habitat. Volunteers have outplanted about 3 million oysters. If you're not familiar with this species, it's the only native oyster to Puget Sound. It was nearly extirpated in the late 1800s, early 1900s due to water quality issues and overharvest. And what we have implemented with this project is similar to forage fish, where we have sort of index sites in certain counties where volunteers go out and do outplantings in partnership with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The agency also helps us identify appropriate substrate, help to let volunteers know where this could potentially be successful in terms of restoration. And we've seen a lot of great success with this. We have some small Olympia oyster reefs starting to reform, and we're also seeing successful natural spawn happening in a lot of locations. In my mind, this is probably one of the most successful restoration projects in Puget Sound. Pinto abalone, I know I don't have to educate you all on this. I want to thank you for listing a species as endangered in within Washington State. You know, it's functionally extinct in Puget Sound. Early in the game, in year 2000, the Northwest Straits Commission was involved with working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife on doing public education around the decline of these species, or this species. They had declined about 97 or 98% over a course of about 30 years. And there's a lot of restoration work happening with this, as you know. Our Skagit Marine Resources Committee continues to partner with the agency and Puget Sound Restoration Fund and NOAA and others to make sure that the monitoring occurs at restoration sites and that the outplanting is being done at appropriate habitat locations. Digging for dinner is one that I would really like to see expanded throughout Puget Sound. Jefferson Marine Resources Committee developed this project a couple years ago, and what it is, it's an opportunity for the community to get out on the beach and learn about sustainable shellfish harvest practices, the link to water quality, and regulations around shellfish harvest. In these pictures here, with Camille Speck and Doug Rogers with the Department of Fish and Wildlife are out on the beach helping out, which speaks to the strong partnership we have with the agency on this project. We've educated around 200 people so far over the last couple of years. These workshops, I'll call them workshops loosely, beach visits maybe you want to say, are always full. We have waiting lists for everyone that is held, and which is why I would really like to see it expanded. Crab pot removal. Most people have heard of this project. It's actually started as a derelict gear removal program with the Northwest Straits Commission, where we went out and, well, we partnered with natural resources consultants to pull derelict nets out of the water. Most of those have been removed, at least the readily retrievable nets have been removed, and it's evolved to the crab pot removal program, which the Northwest Straits Foundation now leads. In the upper left is Jason Morgan. He's the program manager at the Northwest Straits Foundation for this. The Department of Fish and Wildlife funds this project, and if you're not aware, about 12,000 crab pots a year are lost in Puget Sound. It leads to roughly 180,000 crab deaths due to ghost fishing. You can see in the bottom left, there's a picture of a pot with crab in it. That was a lost pot. It's about $3 million of recreational value of crab that's caught due to ghost fishing with lost pots. So this is a really important program. Upper right is a side scan sonar image of pots that were identified in Port Gardner, just outside of Everett. The little green dots, you can see little green clusters, all of those are derelict pots that were pulled out of the water. I think they pulled out around 200 just in that little location last year. This year, this is happening in Jefferson County, and I think Clallam County as well, I think are the two target sites. Crabber education is a big component of this as well. On the right is what we call a rat card with a list of sustainable harvest techniques like weight your pot, watch tides and currents, make sure you're staying out of vessel traffic lanes and so on. These rat cards go in new crab pots at recreational stores so that when people buy a crab pot, they have the information right in front of them. So that's one method of education. And the upper left is Paul Clampett, one of our volunteers with Snohomish Marine Resources Committee. Volunteers go out to the docks and educate crabbers as they're getting ready to go out on the techniques that are in that crab or in that rat card. And we've also implemented another program that I would really like to see expanded. We call it Crabber 101, where preseason we hold workshops for crabbers to show them how to rig pots real time. And in the bottom left is Roy Clark on the right, standing up from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, helping educate a group of crabbers on sustainable harvest techniques at a Crabber 101 last year. Another component of the crabber education portfolio is some educational videos that the Northwest Straits Foundation worked with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to create. Don Velasquez from the agency is on the bottom right there. There's a video of him showing people how to modify crab pots to make sure that if they're lost, they're not going to ghost fish. And finally, our annual conference. We've really loved working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife on this one. They always have really great turnout. This is an event that we hold every year to bring together all of our partners, all of our volunteers, to talk about the projects we've done over the course of the year and what we'd like to do moving forward. The agency not only attends and partakes in the sessions that we hold, but they have also been a sponsor for many years, and we really, really appreciate that. This is my last slide, and I just want to end by really stressing how much we enjoy working with the agency and look forward to continuing that relationship moving forward. Thanks again for the time. I really appreciate it. Be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Smith.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's really informative to learn about partner agencies that are out there doing work that complement the little synergy. Couple of questions. Well, one, on the annual conference, I wasn't aware of that, but I think maybe an invite through Tammy, you know, to the commissioners,
yeah,
would be. When is that held?
We hold it usually every November.
Okay.
This year it's going to be in Everett, and I think the dates are November 15th and 16th. It's usually like a Friday, half of a Friday, half of a Saturday.
I think an invite would be good.
Yeah, we'd love to get an invite.
And secondly, on the foundation, on the Straits Foundation, does that raise private or public or both sectors of money?
Excellent question. It both. They've really been expanding their philanthropic programs, so private funding, but they do get grants as well from agencies such as Department of Fish and Wildlife and NOAA. And they actually just, Chris and I were just talking on the drive over about the contract for the derelict crab pot removal program. Traditionally, that has been a 2-year contract, and just recently they extended it to a 6-year contract. So that's an example of public funds that would be supporting.
So if there was a stream that we were funding, that DFW was funding, mm-hmm, potentially the foundation could go out and raise other non-DFW funds, mm-hmm, that could offset our funds, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, you can almost.
I'm just looking at potential savings from us.
Yeah, no, there's a huge value there for sure, and that's the whole reason the foundation came on board originally was to help supplement the public funds the Northwest Straits was getting through, at that time, NOAA, but now EPA. Yeah.
EPA or EPA?
EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. Yep. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the question.
Mr. Thorburn.
Their presentation. They're just curious about the 12,000 crab pots lost. Is that an estimate, or is that the number that are retrieved each year?
That, I believe, is an estimate of how many are lost.
I see.
Yes.
And so since the crabber education has started, is, mm-hmm, that something that's being monitored? Are we getting results?
Excellent question. This is, I think, the first year where we're actually starting to assess whether the areas where we're doing education result in a reduction in lost pots. So I can't say for sure yet. I only have an assumption that it probably reduces it somewhat. But this is the first year where I think they're actually trying to measure it.
And I'll add that DFW also has a derelict gear collection program where enforcement and biologists go out and get gear that's still active on closed days. That's a relatively new program as well, but there could be some data that comes out of that to tell us about trends as well.
Great.
Thank you, gentlemen.
One more quick one. The ghost nets, that was, mm-hmm, your project?
Yeah, Northwest Straits Commission started that, I think, in the year 2000.
That got global ink.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not underway now because of lost funding?
No, Well, I should say they're probably still pulling derelict nets, but the reason, to my understanding of that, it phased out was because they've already retrieved the nets that they could get to. There's still more out there, but they're in really deep water, or they're so sedimented in that they can't pull them out. And I forgot to mention another really important piece of that project that the foundation is still doing is they have a, I don't know if it's a memorandum of understanding, or I'm not sure what the exact terminology is with the agency, but the Northwest Straits Foundation is a no-fault reporting line for lost gear. So they serve that role and work with the found, or the agency closely as well. So when people lose nets, they're still reporting them to the foundation, and then the foundation can work with the agency to retrieve those. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate Thank you all again.
Thank you.